I wonder if you have ever attempted to share your faith with somebody and had that person turn on you. In other words, they didn't just ignore you. They didn't just say, I'm not interested. They attacked you. They attacked your gospel. They attacked Christians. They attacked Jesus. They attacked you. Jesus knew when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount that there was going to be trouble both for him and for his disciples. He had mentioned that they were going to be blessed when people persecuted them. But perhaps they didn't realize how bad that was going to be at the time. I'm sure they didn't. And so Jesus wisely gives to the disciples one little verse that would help them to be a little wiser about sharing their faith. And that's found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Matthew 7, verse 6. And I want to read it. It's very short, obviously. And then make a few comments, and then we'll look at it in a little bit more deep way. Matthew 7, 6. Now, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version. There'll be some variety here from other versions, but pretty much the same. Do not give what is holy to dogs. And do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, if you're reading through the Gospel or the Sermon on the Mount, you would say, well, this is a bit of an unusual verse. First, because it seems to have no immediate attachment to what's gone before it, although there seems to be a little bit. And in the very next verse, he's going to change the subject completely. And so it just sort of kind of seems like it's sort of pasted in there, and that's caused some scholars to think that that's exactly what happened, that Matthew pasted in a saying from some other place that Jesus gave, put it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. But I actually think there is a connection, not a deep connection, but a connection with what Jesus has just finished saying. You'll remember in verses 1 through 5 that he told us that we were not to be judgmental people. Then we weren't to judge one another, or we would be judged by the same standard that we judged other people by. And we weren't to go around trying to take the little speck out of another person's eye when there was a great big log in our own eye, that we were to deal with our own log before we tried to deal with the speck in somebody else's eye. We weren't to be hypocrites, acting like we didn't have anything to deal with, but they did. And so when Jesus now says, you could read into what Jesus said that we should never say anything about anybody. We should just never form a judgment about anybody or anything else. That's clearly not the case, as we talked about last week. What Jesus is telling us is that there are times when our sense of superiority, our sense of goodness, and our own sinful nature cause us to put other people down, to judge other people. And we're not to get into that sin. But that doesn't mean we aren't to suspend judgment, because judgment's very important. We're to discern right from wrong. We're to discern false teachers from true teachers. And so Jesus perhaps is trying to caution us here that we're not to take that too far. We're not to be just totally non-judging, that is, even though we're not to be judgmental, but that we're to be spiritually discerning. And the emphasis that he puts on it here is the fact that there are going to be people who you would share spiritual truth with who simply will reject it, will turn on you, will be ugly, will treat it with disdain. And he said, at that point, you need to be careful. And so he talks about giving holy to the dogs and giving pearls to swine. Now, the other reason is that these verses seem rather outspoken, and I read them in a way so that you would hear those two big words, dogs and pigs, swine. There was Annie Johnson Flint, I believe it was, once wrote a little poem that began with, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild." I don't know who her Jesus was. But it's not the Jesus that's standing here speaking to the disciples. That's not gentle, and that's not meek, and that's not mild, to call people dogs and pigs, swine. And so it's a little bit surprising, but if we follow into Jesus' life, we realize that Jesus was sometimes very confrontive of other people. He called the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites and brought down God's condemnation upon them. He called Herod the old snake, the old serpent. He had some strong things to say about people when it was called for. And mostly it was called for when folks were dead set against Jesus, and he had to make sure that they were, you know, that people knew what they were. Pharisees were whitewashed tombs. They were broods of vipers. Herod was a fox. I mean, interesting words. So here Jesus uses some interesting words, not only to describe those who he warns us against, but also to describe the gospel. Notice he calls it that which is holy. That which is holy. And then he calls it pearls. The gospel is what's holy and pearls. Now, the basis of this warning, as I said, seems to be connected with what Jesus has been telling them about not being judgmental. But it also stands, if you will, as a precursor to what they will be doing in their life, warning them that sometimes people will be very rough with what they have to say. They have been sitting at Jesus' feet, and they have been learning some pearls of godly wisdom. And naturally, they would want to go to their friends and their neighbors and other people and say, "Did you know what Jesus just taught? You know what Jesus said? Do you know how Jesus wants us to teach and treat people? Do you know how he, you know, what he told us about being hypocrites and all of that other stuff?" They're going to want to go, and they're going to want to share. I mean, this is great stuff. The people thought Jesus was the most unusual teacher they'd ever heard. He was teaching with authority, not like the scribes were teaching. But I think what Jesus is saying, there can be danger in what you and I might call indiscriminate sharing with other people. And I think that is what he addresses his words of caution to this morning. Notice, first of all, the valuables that need to be safeguarded. What are the valuables that need to be safeguarded? Well, he calls them, first of all, that which is holy. Now, you know what the word holy means. It means set apart for God's use. But everything about God is holy. Every word that he speaks is holy. All the records of his actions are holy. And so Jesus is undoubtedly referring to the fact that you have been being taught from God. These are holy things. And when God tells you that you are to turn the other cheek, that's a holy teaching. That's not just some human teacher explaining how to get out of trouble by just being passive and non-aggressive. When he tells us that we are supposed to not do our alms in front of other people so that people would clap and applaud us for our great generosity, he's not doing that so he could, you know, get us to the place where we would not be ever embarrassing to him because of something we did in front of others. That's a pearl. That is, he says, the reason for doing that is so God can reward you instead of human beings rewarding you. And so those are holy teachings. And these things that Jesus has been teaching the disciples, again, something that they would love to share with family and friends and relatives and other people that they just meet. Well, you've been with Jesus. What did he say? You were over there. What was he doing? Let me tell you. And Jesus said, be careful. He said, you've got holy things, but you're never to give holy things to dogs. Now, parenthesis here. Back in those days, most of you know this, dogs were not domesticated. They weren't little pets. Dogs were basically wild animals that roamed the streets and scavenged for food. And they would roam in packs. Wild dogs will do the same thing today. They were considered unclean and filthy. They would eat anything, obviously. And if you've ever had a dog that found something dead, they come home with an odor. Because they think there's nothing better than to get very personally acquainted with that dead object. So you've got dogs here, he's referring to, and he's saying you wouldn't take what's holy and feed it to the dog. So, for instance, if there was some food that you had that was left over from an offering that you gave at the temple, you were allowed to have that food, some of that food, to eat with your family or your friends, anybody you wanted to, there in the temple courts. But you would never take a piece of that and say, oh, well, there's a dog that hangs around my house. I'll take a piece of that and give it to the dogs. Why? Because that's holy. You would never take something holy and give it to that which is unclean by its very lifestyle. And so Jesus is using that picture, that word metaphor, to speak to us about giving holy teachings, holy truth, to those who would only disregard it, disrespect it, and not appreciate it. The dogs. People who are going to, more or less, devour anything and everything that they're given and not appreciate any of it as being holy, special, and reverent. And so that's the first thing he says. We're not to use the holy things, share holy things in the wrong way. We're supposed to realize these are holy things. These are the words of God. These are the teachings of God. I don't want somebody just tearing it apart. I don't want somebody just acting like it's a piece of carrion that they found on the street, just a worldly piece of garbage. The second thing he says is pearls. He likens what the disciples have to share as pearls. Now, you know that pearls in those days were not cultured pearls. And therefore, they were very rare. They were all natural pearls. And so a pearl was something considered very, very, very valuable. And you may remember that Jesus gave a parable about a merchant who was seeking fine pearls, and he finally found one pearl of great price. He sold everything that he had in order to buy that one special pearl. So pearls are things of great value. They're beautiful. They're used for adornment. They're not common items. Most people didn't even own a pearl back then. But you would never take pearls and go out to the hog pen where you're feeding the hogs and throw some pearls down to offer to the hogs. Why wouldn't you? Well, they wouldn't get anything out of it, for one thing. No nourishment in a pearl. And if they did anything with it, they would do what Jesus said they would do. They'd simply trample it underfoot. Why? Because it was of no value to them. They're looking for something to eat. They don't want some little white rocks that you gave them. They're going to trample those under feet. And so Jesus says we would not give pearls to the pigs. Now notice the way that we're to safeguard. The valuables, of course, are the holy things that God has entrusted to us. The pearls. The kingdom of God called a pearl of great value. These things that are so valuable and holy to God, we're to safeguard. We're to be discriminating in who we pass them on to. Now, we're not passing judgment here. We're not saying, well, those people are just dogs. I'll never talk to them. You'd have to have some evidence to know that that's how they would be. Otherwise, you'll find out really quickly that they are. Likewise, you're not going to know that they're sit around and say, well, they're just pigs. They would trample the pearls that I'd offer them underfoot, so I won't share with them. Now, we're not to be judgmental, but we're to be discerning. And that means sometimes you and I can discern whether somebody would be receptive or antagonistic, whether somebody might be open to the truths of God, or from things that you already know about them or things that they've already said, they would mock, they would ridicule, they would scorn, and they would reject the things that you have to say. So God doesn't want you going around there and labeling them and saying, well, you know, Sister Mallory, I was over trying to share my faith with my neighbor, but they turned out to be pigs. They're just a herd of swine. They just trampled out underfoot. You're not going to label these people with these names. That's an illustration. But we're to be discerning about who we might share with. We're to be discriminate rather than indiscriminate. We're to share, to some extent, selectively. And the disciples were not to be judgmental, but that doesn't mean they weren't to lack discernment in who they shared with. And it would be clear to some at some points that there would be people who would only attack them and turn on them. By and large, a lot of the Pharisees were already that way, and they'd revealed themselves that way by publicly and openly objecting to what Jesus was teaching, calling him, you know, doing things in the name of, or the through the power of Satan and all of those kinds of things. I mean, they'd already revealed themselves as being hostile to Jesus. And so the disciples shouldn't bend over backwards to try to cast their pearls before the swine of the Pharisees at that point, because they would just be trampled underfoot. So discrimination, not necessarily labeling people or being judgmental. Now, holy things, the people that we are to be cautious with, he said here, are dogs and swine. And one commentator says, these two animals serve together as a picture of what is vicious, unclean, and abominable. Now, that was in that day. That would be how they were treated. Of course, you know that Jews were not allowed to even, you know, have pigs, keep pigs, sell them or do anything else with them because they were unclean animals. They were to keep away from pigs. So pigs and dogs were considered abominable to both of them. It's sad, but you know there are people in the world today that are absolutely abominable in their life and their behavior to God. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be compassionate and we shouldn't try to reach them. But we ought to remember that if their nature is to rebel against God and do whatever they want, that it's going to be possible that if you start talking to them about Jesus, that they're going to treat you like an abominable person would treat you, okay? So let's not label them. Let's not put them in a bin and say we're not going to deal with them. But let's be alert to the fact that maybe they're already revealing from the way that they've been living up until that point how they might respond. But you never know. You never know. And so we need to be gracious and open and willing to share. Total disrespect for the message harms the message. It devalues the message, particularly if it's done in front of other people. If they mock it, if they ridicule it, if they belittle it, if they attempt to destroy it, then some of those truths, if they do that in front of others, are going to intimidate other people. They won't listen either. And they wouldn't respond because they don't want to get mocked and ridiculed the way you just got mocked and ridiculed. You know, dogs usually travel in packs. And you know what a dog will do? If one dog starts barking, what happens? Everyone, all the other dogs start barking. And that's the influence that one person who is turning against the gospel in the presence of others can do. They can take, essentially, and turn a pack response to the gospel. Then everybody else says, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind. Ah, forget about that. And you say, okay, Pastor Mark, what do you mean? Well, when I was in seminary, when I was in college, I was in a fraternity house. Generally, you don't find Jesus in a fraternity house, okay? I just want to say that. You don't. Now, there are some Christian fraternities, but there weren't any on the campus that I was on. In fact, there were very few Christians on the campus, and I was not a Christian at the time. And I remember the mocking that our Our fraternity house cook was the sweetest little lady that you could ever know. And she was a great cook. She's the best cook in the fraternity circle. So out of all the 10 fraternities, she was the best cook. Everybody knew it. And we had her. And we weren't giving her up. But Mrs. Stow was a member of a little independent fundamentalist Baptist church out in the countryside of Ohio, where we went to school. And she believed that only born-again Christians were going to go to heaven, and she tried to witness to the brothers in the house that they needed to turn to Jesus and be saved, and that there was a real literal hell, and that people who rejected Jesus were going to be in hell, and that she didn't want to see any of us go to hell, and she didn't want anybody else to go to hell, and that she believed in the Bible, that the Bible was the Word of God, and that God would spoke through prophets and other people to record His words, and it was the truth. She believed all those things. She was tolerated, but looked down on and ridiculed behind her back by the brothers because they thought she was so backwards religiously. Well, that influenced some other people. In fact, it influenced me for a while. I didn't want to have anything to do with her in terms of sharing her faith and her religion. Later on, partly because of her testimony and somebody else's, my wife's, I became a born-again Christian. I started believing those very things that she did. But you see, I was wrapped up with these other guys wanting to, you know, not go against the flow and what they were doing. And so I pretty much disregarded anything that she said as being just foolish and ridiculous, and I couldn't participate. The pack responded together. And so we were dogs. We didn't know it. We were dogs, and we took the truth of the gospel, and all we were willing to do is rip it apart, okay? Tear it up. But I had another experience. And the question is, let me just interrupt by just saying, where would we apply this truth? And there are two basic places I think we would apply the truth that Jesus is talking about. That is to be a little discerning before we share. The first is when we're sharing our faith in evangelism. Not everybody is equally open and ready to receive the gospel. And not everybody will respond positively even if they don't want Jesus. The second is when you're trying to instruct or teach somebody else some good truth, a way to walk, a way to live, some insight you've gotten from the scripture. You may find that people react and respond to that in a very negative and hostile way. But let me just talk about sharing your faith. When I was a young Christian, fairly young Christian, my wife and I, Katie and I, were invited to go to visit my great aunt. I didn't really know the lady except by name. I think I'd seen her once before in my life. But my mother and my grandmother were going there, and we were in town, in the area, so we were invited to go take the trip out and see my great aunt. Well, on that opportunity, we didn't have very many opportunities at that point, we began to share what had happened to me recently, but what had also happened to Katie, in coming to know Christ as Savior, with my mom and my grandmother, particularly. But my great aunt was listening in. And it wasn't long into that discussion of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus and why you needed to have Jesus forgive your sin and live in your life that my grandmother and my great aunt viciously turned on Katie and I. Just were mean as they could be, accused us of all the worst motivations and the worst thoughts and thinking that you could have in trying to share Christ with them. Now, I was a young Christian, and as a young Christian, you're very enthusiastic and you want other people to know the same Jesus that you know. But I was a little surprised and perhaps a little undiscerning. Maybe I didn't pick the very best time and the very best circumstances because I knew nothing about my great aunt, but she was fundamental or conservative Christianity altogether. And so we got both barrels like a shotgun, and my grandmother, who was her sister-in-law, my grandmother turned on us as well. And my mother was a little bit less hostile. I think she was somewhat listening and somewhat interested. But because of that, that really shut down any conversations that Katie and I were able to have with my mother and my grandmother for years. Because they wouldn't touch the subject. They wouldn't let us get near the subject after that, because there'd been such hostility that had been brought into that conversation. And they didn't want to ever have to face my aunt, my great aunt, and say, hey, we think what they were telling us is the right thing. You know, you were wrong. One time I was visiting in a home. There were two of us. We always visited two by two. There were two of us visiting in this home. And one of the people that was in the home had visited the church. That's why we were there. But when we got in there, we could see from just a few moments of conversation that the wife who had visited the church was very glad to see us, but the husband thought he couldn't see the back of our head quickly enough. Now, it didn't take a lot of discernment to figure out that if we were going to open up and share with this lady about Christ, that he was going to be trying to destroy everything that we said. So I had a very good partner who was experienced as a sharing. And when he saw this, he asked the gentleman, he said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit thirsty. Could I get a glass of water? The guy said, sure. He goes up to go in the kitchen. My friend followed him into the kitchen and kept him in the kitchen and had a conversation with him in the kitchen until I finished talking to the lady. Now, what do you call that? Discernment and wisdom. Okay? Discernment and wisdom. We moved the trouble out of the living room into this a side room, and we were able then to share without the interference. And by the way, that guy and my friend who had the conversation with him, they didn't get into a witnessing situation in that, but that broke the ice with him. He began to feel like the people at the church weren't these crazy, wild-eyed people that he'd been led to believe or thought that they were. And slowly over time, that helped build a better relationship between the church and him. But you've got to be a little bit discerning and realize that not everybody's going to be excited about hearing the message or the pearls of wisdom that you want to share. But that doesn't mean that we're not to do it. Okay? It doesn't mean that we're supposed to say, well, I'm going to wait until somebody asks me. I mean, Brendan got asked a couple, you know, by somebody. That doesn't often happen. That was not going to often happen to Brendan. That somebody's just going to come up to you and say, hey, how about that? You know, what's this all about? That might be nice if it did, but it doesn't happen very often. So when you go and try to start a gospel conversation, you're going to try to do that with people that you believe would probably not be openly hostile to the gospel initially. Okay? The other people you keep kind of comfortable at arm's length, you can share a little bit, you live your Christian life before them, you hope they pick up some things along the way, maybe their heart gets softened, you continue to pray for them. But you're going to try to discern, I wonder if these people would be open, or this, my friend, is open. And hopefully you've been praying ahead of time for openness on their part. So we don't judge them ahead of time and say, well, we think they must belong to the herd of swine or the herd of dogs. Even we don't judge them because of the people that they usually hang out with or some of the activities that they usually get involved in, because that may be herd behavior. They may just be doing it because everybody else they know is doing it, but they'd love to hear the gospel, or they would be open to it. So we need to be discerning. Sometimes you can ask little questions that will help you discern. For instance, have you ever thought to ask somebody a question, do you ever think about spiritual things? Well, somebody might say, spiritual things? That's the last thing I think about. I think about the spirits. Where can I get my next drink? I don't think about spiritual things. Or do you consider yourself a spiritual person? A lot of people do. Yeah, I sort of think, yeah, I've got some spirituality. Well, what are you dealing with there? Maybe not somebody who's going to be excited right away about the gospel, because it may go against their brand of spirituality that they're involved in. But you can probe a little bit, and you can listen to their conversations. You can pray for them, and hopefully in time have an opportunity to figure out where are they in their relationship with God, if at all, if they have one. So beyond, if you persist with a person who is really not wanting to listen, that's a bad idea. Jesus said you're just continuing to cast your pearls before swine. Back off and just say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. If ever you want to talk about this again, I'll be glad to, but I can see it. It's not something you want to talk about now. Fine, that's good. Keep the door open. Don't force it, because they're not going to do anything but tear you apart and tear the gospel apart and trample it underfoot. Witnessing is challenging work. But we have this warning from Jesus that even though we're to go out and make disciples of all people, there will be some that are very unreceptive. And we're not to cast our pearls before those we know will not be receptive. We're not to share the holy things with those that we believe would turn on us and oppose us. So from this point on, let's faithfully share the gospel with as many people as we can. Let's not be surprised when some people turn against us, because Jesus said that would happen. But let's also try to be discerning and share with people who will be open as much as possible. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Right now, we're going to have a moment of invitation. And that means that we're going to invite you, if you're here this morning, to publicly respond to what God may be doing personally and privately in your life. I'll be here at the front. Some others will be coming up to pray. But maybe you're here today and you'd like to say, today I'd like to receive Christ as my personal Savior. I'd like Jesus to come into my heart. I'd like to begin a life with Him. Just as we've seen two people who have confessed Christ in the waters of baptism, you'd like to become a member of the body of Christ by receiving Christ as your Savior. And you can slip out from where you are. Meet me here at the front. And we'll be glad to have somebody talk with you and pray with you, answer any questions that you have. Maybe you're here today and you need to follow Jesus in baptism. You're a believer. You've received Christ as your Savior, but you've never been baptized as a believer in Christ. And you want to slip forward and say, it's time for me to do that. Maybe you're coming and saying, I need some prayer, or I need to recommit my life to Christ, or I need a church home, a church family. I want to find out how I can be part of the North Park family. But whatever those decisions are, whatever questions you might have, we invite you to slip forward. We're going to play some music quietly in the background, and just heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You can slip out from where you are. Meet me here at the front. Come to the center aisle or side aisle. Meet me here at the front, and we'll make sure that we help you this morning, okay?